This week on the Silver and Black Show, the Raiders stay on the East Coast to take on the Miami Dolphins. In our Hawaiian Airlines overview, we head to Florida as JT the Brick sits down with one of the best punters in the league, Marquette King. And I'm joined in studio by special guest and former Raiders receiver Kenny Shedd as we look at the Raiders' first half of 2017 and what to expect moving forward. All that and more on the Silver and Black Show starting right now.
The Silver and Black Show.
Welcome to the Week 9 edition of the Silver and Black Show. I'm your host, Nicole Zalumis, alongside a special guest and former Raiders receiver, Kenny Shedd. You were with the team from 96 to 2000. Let's go back to that time. What was your experience like in the Silver and Black?
Man, it's something I think about daily. It's a memory that you just never can prepare for. The Silver and Black is such a storied franchise. At that time, Al Davis was in full effect, and it's something that you just can't replace. I had guys like Timmy Brown as my mentor, and just the best uniforms in the league, and you're playing out there and you're traveling. You know, it was a great experience in the Black Hole. Everything was great.
Well, and you bounced around from a couple teams before you landed here with the Raiders. What was it about this historical franchise? I know that Al has a tendency to find the diamond in the rough, and that mindset has been continued with today's Raiders. Is that what it was? He saw something in you?
He did. Him and I talked about that after a couple years being with the Raiders and settling in. He brought up how he first saw me at the NFL Combine, and he mentioned that I was so nervous that I false started three times, and he made fun of me for doing that. But what he said was he saw something in me that if he can just dial me in and get me focused on making plays, that I was going to do some good things out here.
That's when you say, I wasn't nervous. I was just eager to show my gifts and talents. That's why I was false starting.
True.
So your post-NFL career, you're part of the San Leandro Police. What made you want to go into law enforcement after the NFL?
It's something that I always knew I was going to do. My father was a cop in Davenport, Iowa. And just seeing how great he looked in that uniform and hearing his stories for as many years that he was a cop, I always knew that that's something I was going to carry the torch.
Well, and it's funny, you're from Iowa, but you settle here in the Bay Area, I'm assuming because the Raiders locked you in and you enjoyed your experience so much. Yeah. Now it looks like you're going to be dabbling in filmmaking. I mean, that's not your average hobby. I mean, that's a big undertaking.
Yeah, I'm quite motivated, put it that way. And that was something that, once it actually has helped me through my NFL career, because obviously traveling around, my beginnings were very tough, and I put that on myself from not being ready. But I would always have my stories to go back to that comfort me and get me all focused and stuff. So that once my career started settling down in the police business, I was able to kind of now start focusing on filmmaking.
Well, you also are part of a Raider family and the Raiders Foundation. You head up to Napa during training camp. What is it like helping former players with their post-career? Maybe some people that don't have as much success as you have had, but just being part of a group that has so much camaraderie.
Yeah, it's true. Once a Raider, always a Raider. Mark Davis is doing a fantastic job of setting that tone. The alumni weekends are fantastic. We see everybody. But a lot of guys, when you talk to them, have just as good of stories that I have to tell, from starting families to now starting businesses. And we all feed back on each other, and it's great. It's great to have that brotherhood.
All right, now let's look at the team this season, because you know a thing or two about receivers, Crabtree and Cooper. That must be a quarterback's dream.
Whoa, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's, they can hurt you in so many different ways. They have both prototypical type receivers, both have great speed, fantastic hands, and it's a great tandem. You can switch it up, and so the defenders really don't have that much time to get comfortable, because Crabtree could get you, or Amari.
Well, we know Amari Cooper has great hands. He can make some unbelievable grabs that most of the players in the NFL can't. But he also suffered with a case of the drops. As a former receiver, what are you seeing from Cooper in his third year?
It's a growing process, and all I see is the potential. And, in this league, you have to have that short memory, and to me, that's a trait that he's already showing. He's dropped a few, and he recognizes that, but he can also put together a fantastic game like he just showed us in Kansas City. We want more consistency, and I believe that's going to happen from him.
It's always tough to take a road trip. It's always tough to go to the East Coast, but thankfully they're staying over for the week. What is that like, being able to stay for an extra week as opposed to coming home and going back out there?
Yeah, it's a great twist. When I played, 100 or so years ago, we didn't do that, and I think we would have benefited by doing that. The only drawback I can think of is that, after road trip, you really look forward to seeing your family. But getting used to the East Coast time zone is a huge advantage. It worked out last year, and I think it's going to do the same thing this year.
Well, a lot more with our special guest, Kenny Shedd, as we preview the upcoming opponent, the Miami Dolphins. You're watching the Silver and Black Show. It's not an easy assignment, filling the shoes of a living legend, but that is precisely the task at hand for fifth-year punter Marquette King. The Georgia native was brought in as an undrafted rookie with raw talent behind Raider great Shane Leckler. He gave the staff enough confidence that only a year later, they let the future Hall of Famer go as a free agent and gave King the reins. He is not disappointed, becoming one of the best punters in the league and adding some much-needed flair to the position.
We are in Sarasota, Florida, as the Raiders are training for the Miami Dolphins this Sunday on Sunday Night Football. Star punter for the Silver and Black, Marquette King, joins us. Thanks for doing this.
Hey, thank you for inviting me.
A couple of football questions. We're going to have a lot of fun. I want to begin first for you, the loss in Buffalo and now training in Miami, getting ready for this game. How important is this week for you? Because you told me you were disappointed not only with the loss in Buffalo, but your performance. Was that more about weather or just a bad game, everything coming together?
Just no excuses, man. I just had a bad game. No excuses about that. I just got to find a way to bounce back. And I don't know, I didn't think I was going to have a bad game this year, man. But sometimes you got to have those moments.
Let's talk about first. I want to get to the music, and then we'll go back to your youth. But you dropped a tune on iTunes. I know you're really proud. I heard it. We were all listening to it the other night. How proud of an accomplishment is that?
It felt real good, man. I was chilling in the weight room back in Oakland and looking at iTunes and put my name in there, and it popped up, and I just started running around the facility like, yeah, I got a song on iTunes now. So it was cool. It felt real official. When I first started making music, it was in high school. So at the time, me and some of my friends would get on a computer, make music, and let each other listen to each other's music. But I stopped because the software that people use now was a little complicated because I didn't understand it. So finally got on it and created a song.
So the journey with you becomes, when you're at practice as a receiver, you're not getting playing time, you start punting on the side. Your coach sees that you have a passion for that. Was that the beginning of you falling in love with that position?
Yeah. It was a little, I hated it at first, but I don't know, I get fascinated when I see a punt go in the air high and far.
This Fort Valley State transition coming out of Rutland High School, take me back to that age and what you were thinking about going off to college, what that meant to you, how nervous you were at the time, and what was that journey like? What type of football were you playing back in the day?
I definitely wanted to go to a bigger school or whatever, but at the same time, I didn't do everything I needed to do on my end to go to the big school, so I ended up going to Fort Valley, which was one of the best decisions ever. It was a real fun time. The best times of my life being broke.
Now, Shane Leckler's the punter. He's a great punter with the Raiders. You go undrafted in 2012, and then you get the tryout. Take me through that day as you're prepping for that tryout. Was that a moment where you thought, this is my one chance, I got to be great today? What was that day like?
I don't think it was just one day. It was a couple of days. At the time, Hoffman showed me little stuff I had to do, and I would miss the bus sometimes and just stay on the field while everybody else go back to the hotel and just keep kicking until my leg was tired, just so I could finally get it. And one day it just clicked. During the summer it just clicked one day, and every time I just had the ball here and just swung my leg, it was just flying. So
you heard the name Ray Guy back then, and then mm-hmm. Shane became a legend with the Raiders, and you're following in those footsteps. Looking back at those legends who came before you, mm-hmm. is that something you think about, or you want to be your own man?
I'd rather be my own man. I mean, it's cool to see that we got beastie punters that punted for the Silver and Black. So, and it's cool to be part of that group. And I don't know, I feel like it's a standard that I want to reach as far as being trying to be the best at the position that I play to help the team. So it's cool.
February 2016, you sign a five-year contract extension. Forget about you for a second. What did that mean for your family and the people that really cared about you when you had no money growing up in Macon?
I mean, my mom's always taught me get excited, but don't be hitting cartwheels and stuff all the time. Like, just, I don't know.
That's a good transition to the fact that you celebrate while you're on the field.
Well, yeah, because, man, I put so much work into it. Like, it feels good when it pays off. Like, it's like, I don't know, it's the best feeling ever, man. Like, you put all that work into it and such a passionate game. And when I do my job and I got gunners that got my back when I mess up and miss hit and it works out, it just feels good.
We got some rapid fire for you. Let's start off with this.
Mm-hmm.
Stevie Wonder or Lionel Richie?
Stevie Wonder.
Bruno Mars or James Brown?
Bruno Mars.
Gucci or Versace?
Gucci.
Superman or Batman?
Superman.
Red wine or a cocktail?
Red wine, all the time.
Beach or the desert?
Desert.
Why, look at this, the desert?
It's nice, but I'm not a water person. I don't like water like that, unless I'm drinking it.
Eddie Murphy or Kevin Hart?
Kevin Hart.
Kobe or LeBron?
LeBron James.
Barbecue or sushi?
Barbecue. I like my fish cooked.
Sunrise or sunset?
Sunset. Sunset. Happy hour.
Tell everyone where they can get your music.
Well, one of the ways, they can go to iTunes.com or they can go to iTunes. Cop this song, QTTE-3.
What about social media? Where can we find you on Twitter?
I have a link under my social media where people can go find it. But I think it's cool if they look it up and then it pops up.
A star is born, but now the star is rising.
Hello, class. Professor Kennedy here with this week's edition of Chalk Talk, brought to you by the Ray Morgan Company. So let me think. You figured that we're in Florida, we're hanging out, having a good time, and we weren't going to come back and have a class assignment? You're sadly mistaken. Let's take a look at the Dolphins, shall we? In particular, I want to focus on number 91, Cameron Wake, an outside defensive end that has turned into a pretty formidable force for this Miami defense. Along with Ndamukong Suh and other guys, they've got a pretty good defense that needs some attention. So let's take a look at what makes number 91 so special, shall we? In play number one, you'll notice number 91 lined up on the right-hand side right tackle, a wide nine technique at angled in. He does this for two reasons. One, you're going to see the defensive line angle to the field, which gives him position to play contain. And two, if it's a pass, he puts himself on a direct interception for the quarterback. In this instance, it's going to be play action that the Jets are going to run. And as you see this play develop, watch how Cameron is in position. Notice the defensive line angle to the field. The Jets use play action. Now Cameron is in position not only to cover the receiver, but to bring down the quarterback. Easy sack. In this next play, you're going to see empty backfield, one tight end. The Dolphins actually have five defensive linemen by numbers only. Number 90, 95, 94, 93, and 91. The New York Jets are going to decide that the most dangerous guys are the four interior linemen, and they're going to lead the widest guy, who's usually a linebacker, in this case is Cameron Wake, for the tight end. Definite mismatch and misjudgment by the New York Jets. They're going to slide their offensive line to their offensive line's left, but from our vantage point, the defensive is right, which is going to play right into what they need. Number 90 is going to drop back and play coverage. Number 47 is going to drop back and play coverage. The Dolphins are in essence only going to rush four, but they have a mismatch with their premier pass rusher on the tight end. Watch how the play develops. See Cameron just go through the tight end? Now you've actually had two free guys running at the quarterback. No chance. The safety who was covering the tight end and Cameron Wake, who becomes a free blitzer. Well, meanwhile, the offensive line is sliding to the right. Let's take a look at the Tennessee Titan game. You remember how I said Cameron prefers a line at a wide nine at an angle? He's trying to purposely intersect his play where he thinks the quarterback is going to be. This also gives him a two-way go when he comes up against offensive tackles. If the offensive tackle sets too deep, he comes underneath. If he sets too shallow, he presses the corner right there in the quarterback's lap. In this instance, he's going to get exactly what he wants because he gets a running start at the right tackle. Using his power and forcing the inside pressure gets a hit on the old quarterback, and it's something you really don't want to have. Let's take a look at this play at full speed. See him come downhill, use the inside power arm, fall underneath, get a hit on the quarterback's shoulder, throwing shoulder, which could be dangerous for a quarterback. Our last look, we're going to go back to the Jets game. We see a definite passing formation. Notice that they got number 29, who's actually on the side of the right tackle in order to help him chip and help protect. But watch how Cameron plays this. He goes right upfield, back didn't offer much of a chip. It's an easy sack. Unfortunately for the tackle, who thinks he's got help over the top, he didn't get any. So in closing class, this is what we have to look for out of number 91. Guy's got a lot of talent. He can definitely rush the passer, and he can play the run pretty well. Whether Marshall Newhouse or Vidal Alexander, what they've got to watch out for is you've got to be able to hold your ground and can keep the width of the pocket to allow Derek Carr to feel comfortable. He's definitely going to try to collapse it and try to put himself into Derek's lap, but you have to remain strong. Do this and try to run it at him. I think you can negate a lot of things that number 91 does well. Well, that does it for this week's edition of Chalk Talk. I'll see you next week.
Thursday to Monday is, it's an eternity when you get waxed like that. And you go through a lot of things. You watch a lot of film. You try to figure out what is going on. We had some time to think about really what we wanted to do going forward. What was our best steps?
They're not going to overhaul their system because of a player going down. So it's going to be, you know, we've got plenty of tape to study, and, you know, we'll adjust accordingly. But obviously they made that decision, you know, for what's best for their football team, and we recognize the adjustments that need to be made.
Another tough AFC matchup on the road. Welcome back to the Silver and Black Show. Nicole Zalumis alongside Kenny Shedd. Kenny, you look at their upcoming opponent, the Miami Dolphins, and they got shut out by Baltimore. It was an embarrassing loss. It was a tough loss for them. But this is still a 4-3 team, so they're going to look to rebound against the Raiders. How do you not get caught up in last week's outcome for the Dolphins and focus like you would for every other team?
Well, I think the coaches are going to do a great job with getting the team back focused. It's going to be a daunting task. You're on the road in Miami. Miami has a history of playing the Raiders tough, believe me. But the Raiders themselves are coming off of kind of a reeling loss. So as we move into November and December, these games are going to start getting more and more important. And I think the team leaders are going to start getting the young guys focused to go in there at Dolphin Stadium and handle business.
Well, one lift that the Dolphins get that the Raiders didn't necessarily want to see is their quarterback is back after a rib injury in Jay Cutler. Adam Gase confirmed that news. Getting your leader back emotionally and obviously your signal caller on the field, how much does that boost the team?
It does, actually. Cutler has an extremely strong arm. He's a big boy, too, but he's also prone to make mistakes. When I was following him in Chicago, you know, I mean, if you put a little pressure on him, maybe give him a good little smack, that starts to jar a quarterback's psyche. So, you know, we have just the type of defensive players who might be able to do something like that. It really becomes a different mindset where you shake off that loss and you go in there and you know that we got to do what we got to do to win this game.
Well, you mentioned Derek and his arsenal of weapons. There's so much talent on this offense. Why do you think they've struggled lately?
There's really no probably clear-cut reason. You know, the only thing that I can see that might stand out to me is I think the offensive guys need to show a little bit more excitement out there. You know, if someone makes a big play, let them know. Go run out there and hug them, high-five them, you know, because your defensive players feed in off that.
Sure.
And then the other team sees these guys are fired up, and it just carries over. So that's what I would like to see more. So that comes back to the team captains and team leaders and stuff. So I'm thinking that they're going to do a little bit better job of stepping up and making sure these guys have some fire in their eyes.
Yeah, work on the mindset, get the team morale up. I like that.
Yeah.
So is there one player that you've been focusing on that maybe hasn't made a lot of noise that you'd like to see more from?
Well, I'm a Seth Roberts fan, and he makes noise.
Yep.
He's just very quiet about it. That's just his style. He's a prototypical receiver as well, tall, fast, great hands. But when he's unleashed, he can just do it nonstop. For me, I'd love to see that happen from the beginning of the game to the end of the game because there again, other players are going to see that and feed off of it. This is a young Raider team, and they have to kind of understand that it's about 60 minutes of football, not a good half. It's about two good halves of football, and so that's what we need to see from the beginning to the end.
All right, so we've talked two teams coming off of a tough loss. They're hungry for the win. Yeah. We've talked about Seth Roberts, also the overall mindset. What else do you want to see from this Raiders team to ensure victory in Miami?
Well, guys, we have to understand that the Raider Nation is hungry. You know, our fans are the best in the world. I've been to four different teams now, and they're all great teams, the Redskins, you know, the Jets and the Bears where I played, but none of those guys can match what the Raiders have here. Their fans, their organization, everything about this silver and black is on a whole nother level. So we have to kind of step it up. You know, we have to impress upon ourselves that we have to make this happen for our fans and for our city and everything. It's pretty important. So that's what I want to see. I want to see the guys get a little bit more fire, get more excitement. It's not about holding that in. It's about letting everybody in the opposition know how fired up you are to go out there and play.
All right, Kenny, thank you so much. That's going to do it for this edition of the Silver and Black Show. Make sure you tune in next week. The Raiders are on a bye. We'll recap the first half of the season. On behalf of Kenny Shedd and all of us here at the Silver and Black Productions, thanks for watching, and go Raiders.